All right. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, let's go somewhere. We're going to look at something this morning. I believe this is going to bless you today. But go over to Acts 20. We've been talking about finances, and this actually ties into that, but it actually ties into your personal life a little bit, but it also will relate to you on the level for the new year. So it's kind of multifaceted. So you're going to be able to glean from it different things here. But I want to show you something this morning over in Acts 20. And let's start with verse 22. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says this, "And now you see I'm going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what will befall me there." Verse 23, "Except that the Holy Spirit clearly and empathetically affirms to me in city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me." Now, how many of you know right there, let's just say if God told us that, most of us would struggle with wanting to run the other way, would you not? He's saying that the Lord is showing him that afflictions are coming and there's going to be some imprisonment. How many of you know that's probably not going to end good? Now, Timothy, this is written, when you look over in 2 Timothy in a second here, 2 Timothy is written, and that's Paul's last letter that he's writing before he dies. So Paul knows some things are going to happen, some things that are not good. And like I said before, if this was most people, we'd all say, if the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, "Pastor Matt, I just want you to know you're going to go Walmart tomorrow and persecution awaits you," I'd be like, "What? And you're going to be in prison?" I'd be like, "Repeat that again one more time? I'm going to be thrown in jail for what?" Like, I mean, now if somebody's hurting my kid, I mean, okay, I get it. But if I'm just walking to Walmart down the aisles and I get thrown in jail, I'm going to be like, I might want to avoid Walmart. But he says this in verse 24, "But none of these things move me." How many of you know that needs to be your statement for 2023? "Neither do they esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have obtained from" who? "The Lord Jesus." Who did he get his ministry from? The Lord Jesus. Who did he get the call that was upon his life from? The Lord Jesus. What's he supposed to do? "Faithfully to attest to the good news, the gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy." So Paul said that there was afflictions that were going to await him, but none of those things move him. And that he was still going to go forward because why? "That he might finish his course with joy in the ministry which I have obtained from him," being the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was the one that called Paul? God, Jesus. Who is the one that called you? Him. Who was the one that put the call upon your life? Him. I tell you this all the time. I did not choose to be a pastor. It's not like I was laid out a choice and a selection and God said, "Let's have a committee." No, there was a call of God placed upon my life to be a pastor. Now I have a choice to either do it or not do it. Just like there are people in this room, you might be called to be moms. You might be called to be business people. You might be called to serve in the church. Whatever it is that you are called to do, that is God's call and place upon your life. Amen? And so what happened is this, though, as Paul did his ministry, you find out something very interesting. And this happens in Paul's life. And this happens in your own life, too, when you serve God. Go over to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6 says this. This is Paul again. "For I'm already about to be sacrificed. My life is about to be poured out as a drink offering. The time my spirit's release from the body is at hand, and I will soon go free." He knows he's about ready to die. Verse 7, "I have fought the good, the worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly and held the faith." And then he says this. He goes on to say what's laid up for him in verse 8, which is a crown of righteousness with God for doing what is right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me. And then it says, "on that great day." And then if you look down here in verse 10, there's this gentleman by the name of Demas. And it says this, "For Demas has deserted me for love of this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia." What happened to Demas? Demas left Paul because he loved the world more than what he was doing. Paul said, none of these things move me. Paul said that it's the Lord that will reward me for what I'm doing with my life. It was the Lord's call upon his life. Demas had a love for the present world. He liked the world. Now, one of the things that probably pulled Demas away from doing what God had told him to do was this. He loved the world, but he probably asked a question. And all of us at some point in our life have probably asked this question, and I'm guilty of this too. So I'm just going to raise hands, legs, feet, whatever. You'll see why when I ask you this question. How many times have you done something and said, well, am I really happy doing this? I can tell by the silence that you all have done it. Am I happy? Am I really, really, really happy doing this? I told my wife yesterday, I said, I've met married couples that I've known for years, and you ask them why they got a divorce, and they say, because we're just not happy. I'll say, well, why did you leave your job? Why did you leave your job? Because I'm not happy. See, if you're not careful, that one phrase right there will get you in a lot of trouble. And let me explain why. Because the enemy will accommodate you. Because what happens is this, when we base our life on happy, being happy all the time. See, now you might say, well, what do you mean? Let me explain to you something. Keith Moore said it this way, and so this is not Pastor Matt. So if you get mad at this statement, you can email him at Keith Moore Ministry. I don't know. But he said this, some of the most miserable people on the planet are those who chase their own happiness. Let me say that again. Some of the most miserable people on the planet are those who chase their own happiness. You say, why? Let me reword it. As a believer, if I were to say to you, my purpose as a believer is to pursue my own happiness, all of you in this room would say, nuh-uh. I would say, what's my purpose as a believer? To find out what God's called you to do and pursue that. So if we're not careful, when we always say to ourselves, well, I'm not happy. Am I happy? That question. Am I happy? Am I really happy doing this? Well, the enemy knows if you're not happy, he can accommodate you and try to make you happy. How many of you have watched people go from job to 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 job? You know why they do that? Because they're chasing happiness. They're trying to find happy at every job they go to, and they can't find it. How many of you have ever had somebody that you know, maybe it's not that, maybe it's this. Have you ever heard this statement? Well, I'll be happy when we get the bigger house. You get the bigger house, then you'll say, well, I'll be happy when we get the nicer car. You get the nicer car, I'll be happy when I get the newer clothes. I'll be happy when my husband turns around. I'll be happy when my wife does this. I'll be happy when my kids do this. I'll be happy when we have more money. And it never stops. Why? Because you keep chasing it, and it's like chasing a mirage. You can't get it. And what happens is you're looking for it, and you can't get it because you're saying, well, if I'm happy, the newness wears off. Does anybody notice that? Come on now. Let's just be honest. You buy a new car, woo, new car. I like cars. I like motorcycles, so I'll put myself in there. You buy a motorcycle. You know, I've already started looking at motorcycles again. Help me, Jesus. And so I just look at them because I like them. But, you know, you buy a new motorcycle. What happens when you look at it? Woo, nice. What happens when you buy it? Woo. Go to the garage. First week, I love my motorcycle. Second week, I love my motorcycle. Makes me so happy. I ride to Walmart and I'm happy. People wave at me and I'm happy. People at church said, that's a nice bike. I'm happy. I go out with my wife. She says, it looks good when you ride the motorcycle. I say, thank you. It makes me happy. And then 2 months go by and I look at the motorcycle and it doesn't make me happy no more. And then I drive to the store and I'm not getting as many waves. I'm not as happy as I used to be. And then I'm not as happy. So then I go, well, I guess I need something else. So let me get another motorcycle. See what I'm saying? People do that with things. They do that with objects. They do that with people. Well, if I just become friends with this person, I'll be happy. If I just get in this group, I'll be happy. You know, anybody ever see that in high school with kids, you know, young kids? If I get just in this group, I'll be happy. And what happens when you get in that group? You're not happy anymore. So what it is people, what he was saying is some of the most miserable people are those who pursue their own happiness or chase after their own happiness. Why? Because you were not made for that. You were made to pursue him and find happiness in his call upon your life. Things are okay. And, you know, when we talk about money, this is why I said this ties into all of it. You know, money is important to have because you got to have money to do things. But here's the thing. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil. We know that. But it's that love that drives people, that love of money that leads people off. Why? Because they'll be willing to do anything to get money. They have a love of money, which means they have this perception. Are you ready? And how many of you have ever heard this? If I get more money, I'll be happy. So they chase money to get happy. Therefore, they're not pursuing God. And who have you removed from the equation? God. And what you're doing is it's godless. Therefore, you're pursuing your own interest, and God's not in it at all. See, you can get all the money you want, and you're still not going to be happy. Because the thing that always baffled my mind when I was a young Christian was, I was like, I knew people that had a lot of money, and they still were miserable. And I thought, if money obtained happiness, you ought to be the happiest person I know. And if you're so happy, if getting things makes you happy, then why are people in Hollywood killing themselves left and right? Why? Because they can't find happiness. And you know where it's found? In him. In the plan that he has for your life. In the purpose that you are here. You're not called to pursue your own happiness. You're called to pursue him. And when you do that, it makes you happy. See, what happens is he gives you the desires. I mean, yeah, all these little things are nice. I mean, I love, you know, having a motorcycle, but my happiness is not wrapped up in that thing. I get happy when I come to church. I get happy when I serve. I get happy when I preach. I get happy when I read the word. That's where my happiness is found in. Because I know this much, that motorcycle can be gone tomorrow. Well, then what am I going to do? If my happiness is wrapped up in that motorcycle, well, then I'm not happy. So what is it that you're called to do? You're called, you're not made for or designed to chase happiness. You're made and called to chase after him. See, Revelation 4:11, jump over there. Is everybody still okay? We're starting the new year out with a bang. Let me tell you what. Revelation 4, verse 11, over in the King James Version, it says it this way. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for who? For his pleasure. For thy pleasure they were, or they are, and were created. So you were created for him. That's what we're created to do. That's why people can't find happiness. That's what I said earlier. You can't find happiness in things. I heard somebody say this, and it's true. The reason why people struggle with addiction is because one of the biggest reasons is it makes them happy. But it's a false happiness. Because, see, what you're trying to find is in something, and that what you're trying to find is not in that thing. It's in him. So it's like, you know, if I think, for example, if I think happiness is found in this water bottle. Hold on here. Let me have Brother Lonnie open my water bottle here. Thank you, Brother Lonnie. So, you know, this water bottle, if I think happiness is found in this. Well, how many of you guys know happiness isn't here? But if happiness is this, and now I drink some of it, well, now I'm not as happy because it's half empty. So what happens when it's empty? I'm not happy. Because I'm trying to find happiness in this, and I can't find it. I had a guy tell me one time that he would go to meetings, and his greater power was a pop bottle. I said, well, that ain't going to work. Because what are you going to do when your pop bottle's crushed? What are you going to do when your pop bottle's recycled? Your pop bottle don't have enough power to help you, but he does. See, this is not my happiness, but my happiness is found in him because I'm created for him. That's why I'm created. See, Revelation says it was for his pleasure. So I'm created in his image and in his likeness with a plan and a purpose upon my life that he placed upon me. No man gave it to me, God did. And where my true happiness and my true fulfillment comes from is finding out what I am called to do and doing that. Amen? Look at this, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Everybody still all right this morning? Everybody still love me? Good. I'll be giving out hugs after service. Philippians 2, verse 20. Philippians 2, verse 20 says this, "For I have no man like-minded," this is Paul writing, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all do what? Seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ." Paul said to Timothy, nobody else has a like mind like me. Everybody else is chasing after their own thing. You know why there's so many people unhappy in churches across America? Because they're chasing after their own happiness. That's why. Paul said, Timothy, you're the only one that's like-minded like me. Do you remember how Paul was? We read that scripture at the beginning. He said, I've finished my race and my course. I want to do what God has called me to do. He said, none of these things move me. See how Paul looked at things? He looked at things a little different. He wasn't chasing the things in this world. He was in this world, but not of this world. His happiness wasn't found in things. His happiness and his fulfillment was found in Christ. And he said to Timothy, he said, I don't have anybody like me. Why? Because there are those that all they do is seek their own, which are the things not of Jesus Christ. See, we're called to pursue after him. 1 Corinthians 13 is very interesting. You can write that down. It says, love does not seek its own desire. So if you're really walking in the God kind of love, you ought to be finding out what he wants you to do. Now you might say, well, but Pastor, what are we called to do as believers? You might say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to be a pastor? Am I supposed to be a teacher? I know there's different giftings in that area, different, you could say, a different call. And yes, every person's got to find out what they are called to do. Some are called to be stay-at-home moms. Some are called to do other things. There's different ways you can figure that out. One of the ways you got to is get on your knees and pray and listen to God. You just got to do it. There's no easy way on that. But I will tell you, there is one way you can get real happy real easy. You ready? You guys are like, oh, where are we going? John 13. Look at this. We all know this story, though. John 13. This is where you can start right here. How many of you like having a starting place for the new year? This, you can start right here. This is really good. So this is the story in John 13. In verse 1, this is the Last Supper. In the first portion of this, verses 1 through 4, he's talking about the Last Supper. He's getting ready to be offered up, and they're having the Last Supper together. And you go down to verse 5, and when he starts washing his disciples' feet. Now, I will agree with a lot of people. A lot of people took this like to the extreme with feet washing. I ain't washing y'all's feet, okay? Yeah. You want to wash your feet, there's a basin in the back. Go stick them in there and clean them. Yeah, I mean, it just got pulled into the extremes. People did that a lot in churches back in the day. They were, you know, got to wash your feet. And I'm like, you need to wash your own feet, man. Like, but this is what they did. They heard this story, and they kind of pulled it over there. And, you know, I mean, if the Lord tells you to do it, you do it. But Lord didn't tell me to wash y'all's feet, so I ain't doing it. But he said this. Jesus said in verse 8, Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. This is the Amplified. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, in that case, wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Peter got on board really quick. He said, don't just wash my feet. Hit me all. Just cover me. And Jesus said to him, anyone who has bathed needs only to wash his feet. and is completely clean. And you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you. He's talking about Judas, who's going to betray him. For he knew that he was going to betray him. For that reason, he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12, so when he had washed their feet and put on his outer robe and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you understand what I've done for you? This is Jesus talking. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right in doing so, for that is who I am. Verse 14, so if I, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet as well. For I gave you this as an example so that you should do in turn as I did to you. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, as a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed, happy. Some translations say you're happy, happy and favored by God if you put them into practice and faithfully do them. Look at it in the King James Version. It reads it this way. Verse 17 says it this way. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So what makes you happy? If you do what he tells you to do. Serving is one of the easiest ways that you can get happy. Jesus gave us an example. He said this, if you do what I've done for you. Well, what did he do for them? He washed their feet. Back then, their feet were dirty. It's not like today where we have socks and shoes and, you know, I mean, you're talking days, weeks without bathing your feet and walking in the dirt and, poop and manure and everything. I mean, seriously, it's not like your feet were the cleanest part of their body. It wasn't. It was the most unclean part. Jesus, the Son of God, got down and washed the disciples' feet. And when he washed their feet, he got up to them and said, now I've given you example to do what I've done for you, do it to the others. So what was he saying? He said, if you serve, if you serve, you will be happy. That's why when you serve in church, you get happy. The Lord told me this. He said, Matt, a serving church is a happy church. A serving church is a happy church. If you serve, you're happy. Some of the greatest memories I have are serving. When I went to Rhema, I served. I served. Now, understand, I worked third shift, so I couldn't serve all the time. But I did what I could do. You know, I went to prayer every single Friday and prayed for the ministry for almost 4 years. Nobody saw me do it, but I did it because I wanted to serve. You know how happy I was when I came out of there? Why? Because I did my part. When I was at Rhema, I served in kids ministry. I served third, fourth, and fifth graders for over 3 years. I served every single Sunday night, never missed one night at all for my whole 3.5 years that I served there. And I served. You know some of the greatest memories I have? Coming out of kids ministry. I would come out of kids ministry so happy and happy for the whole day that I couldn't contain myself. You know, I enjoyed serving. Why? Because Jesus said, if you serve, you will be happy. So what was happening was the scripture that he said was being fulfilled in my midst. I was serving and I was happy. I enjoyed serving. I loved doing it. I put up inflatable games, y'all, at 2 a.m. I was fun. I laughed and had a good time doing it. Why? Because I was serving. I painted kids' faces. Y'all, I don't know how to paint kids' faces. I just drew a bunch of rocks, and I did it with an airbrush gun. You know, I mean, hey, there's your kidney bean. Happy 4th of July. Oh, you got a kidney bean too. Happy 4th of July. But I did it because the church needed help, and I said, I want to serve. I remember when I went to Rhema, they said, you know, we're going to do a new youth building. We need people to partner with us to help us build this youth building. I said, where do I sign up? I might not be able to give $5,000, but I can give you $10 to help you out. Put me on. I gave every month faithfully to sow into that ministry. You know, when they said they needed help in kids, I would be sitting in church, and the number 006 would pop up on the screen, which meant they needed help in the back. I would get up from my seat in the middle of the message and go to the back to help the teachers because that number meant the kids were winning and they needed help. And so I would go to the back to help the teacher. I remember one time I went to the back to help the teacher, and the lady at the counter said, "You can't help." And I said, "Well, why not?" She says, "You serve too much. Go back and enjoy the service." She said, "There's other people sitting in that pew that need to serve. You've done your job. Go sit and enjoy the service." I sat in the back and parked cars for elderly people for 3.5 years at the beginning of service. Nobody ever saw me. And I sat and parked the cars and talked to people and did it behind scenes. And nobody ever saw me for 3.5 years. I served. I served by, you know, parking cars. I served in different events at the church. I just said to myself, wherever they need me, put me in. Why? Because I wanted to be faithful to do what God had called me to do. But I knew that it would make me happy. See, that's why my wife and I tell you about serving at church. We don't tell you to serve at church just to be like, well, serve, love Jesus and serve. We tell you to serve because it'll make you happy. See, when you do what God has called you to do, God called you to serve. And if you say to yourself, 2023, I want to be more happy, then start serving. Thank you. Have a good day. But that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you do. Now understand, not everybody's called to serve behind the pulpit. But you might say, well, what can I serve? Well, this man right here, Brother Lonnie. Brother Lonnie cleans the church. You could come up to Brother Lonnie. Brother Lonnie, I have Tuesday afternoon free. Could I help you? Could I just come in for an hour and help you clean the church? I don't think Brother Lonnie would be like, no. No, 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 no. Brother Lonnie would say, sure. You want to come in and help me? I'll show you what I do. Why? Serving. Brother Lonnie, I have a hard time when I come to church because Brother Lonnie, when Brother Lonnie's here and I walk into the church, Brother Lonnie, I have yet to come in. Brother Lonnie's cleaning the church, serving, doing what God has called him to do, because Brother Lonnie knows what he's called to do, and he does it faithfully. That's why I use him in my sermon illustration, and I know him really well. But Brother Lonnie, I have yet to walk in the church and see Brother Lonnie like walking around going, you stupid glass doors and you stupid church and you stupid building, and I'll clean this stupid floor. He's singing. He's whistling. He's quoting scripture. Usually I have to come in and yell and go, Lonnie, yeah, I'm here just so you know. Meaning, like, you get happy, but I don't want you to come down the aisle and scream and see me, you know? I was thinking about the other day, a couple of the guys in the church here helped Lonnie and I, blessed us tremendously. We had these garage door operators in the garage for, I don't know how many years those things have been in there, 15 years it seems like. And they saw them. Now here's a good opportunity right here. Look at this. I want you to see this. They saw the boxes. Instead of going to Lonnie and saying, why aren't you hanging those? You know what they said? Can we come by and hang those for you? You know what I found out? It was cold that morning. And what it was when I went in there and saw the guys hanging them, you know what they had on their face? A smile. Why? They were serving. They were doing their part of what God told them to do. See, they got happy. And I'll guarantee you, when they left, I bet they were happy. I didn't come in there and they were like, this is horrible. This is the worst day ever. They were like, this is fun. They forgot to even eat lunch. I had to buy them lunch, throw it to them out the window because they were like just enjoying. Why? Serving. So see, in 2023, if you find out what God has called you to do with your life, yes, do that. But one of the easiest places you can start is just by serving. And the more you serve, the happier you'll get. See, a lot of times in my life, and a lot of times I see this with people I know in the ministry area, they were always unhappy because they were not doing what God told them to do. They weren't serving in the capacity they were called to serve. See, I think of it this way. I was telling my mom this recently. We were talking about serving and different things. A lot of times, the Lord will use your serving as an opportunity to bless you, not only with joy, but just to bless you. Because sometimes you'll come to church, and you might be having a rough day. And let's just say you go help Brother Lonnie clean the church on Tuesday. I'm just using that as an illustration. But you help Brother Lonnie on that Tuesday, and you come in, and you're having a rough day. And Brother Lonnie, that morning, Brother Lonnie gets up in his devotion, and the Lord puts a scripture on Lonnie's heart. Lonnie's meditating on that scripture. And then the Lord tells Lonnie, grab an extra $10 out your door today. And Lonnie's thinking, hello, buffet. You know, he's just thinking, maybe this is for me. But you come to the church with that need, and all of a sudden the Lord says, you know that scripture you're meditating on? Tell it to him. Lonnie tells it to him. They get ministered to. And then the Lord says, now give him the $10. And you give him the $10. What happened? Lonnie's happy, and now you're happy. Why? Because you were at the right place at the right time with the right people. Some of the best places you can be is sitting right here in this room, this church. My wife and I say this all the time. We can't do this thing without help. We can't. But we don't give you opportunities to serve, to weigh you down and to frustrate you and to burden you. We want you to serve because we know the joy that it'll bring you. It just does so much. And you might say, but I work and I don't have a lot of opportunities. Then there's opportunities when we present opportunities at the church. You get that, you know, opportunity. Just say, hey, I'll do that right there. I'll help out there. Or, you know, for example, another way that you can serve is by serving at the church, by serving God, by doing what he's told you to do, by serving God, by giving to others what God has told you to give, be a blessing to others, by serving others. Whatever it is, we always say this here at LifePoint Church, always do what God told you to do. Why? Because when you do what he's called you to do, you're doing his plan, and when you do his plan, that will make you happy. See, I found out in my life that I can't chase things. I found that out. My happiness is found in doing what he has called me to do. If I was not here being a pastor, I would be miserable right now. I would. Why? Because I wouldn't be serving, and I wouldn't be doing what God has called me to do. But when I go home and God puts something on my heart to do for my wife or my kid, how many of you know? Do what God has called you to do. So if God told me to do something, what do? I do it. And when I do it, now I'm obeying God and I'm following the plan of God for my life, and it blesses me and it makes me happy. That's why, I mean, I get so excited to bless people. Seriously, I just get like, I love blessing people. I mean, there's no greater joy. I mean, anybody in this room would raise your hands and raise your feet and go, yeah, it's awesome. Why? Because it's what Scripture says will happen when you do it. And not only that, when you do what God called you to do, you're like, this is the best ever. I was thinking about it, you know. I told my wife, I said, I have watched so many people in my life run on God because they're chasing things. They're looking for happiness. And I'm like, it's sitting right in your town at your local church and doing what God has called you to do. I'm like, I've seen this. I've seen ministers I know and people that I know leave. And I'll tell you this much. It doesn't mean that, you know, hard times aren't going to come. But when you're doing what God has called you to do, it makes you happy. Seriously. And you just do your part. That means your part. It doesn't mean you need to do Pastor Matt's part, Pastor Kat's part, Lonnie's part, Gerhard's part. It means your part. So you find out what your part is and you do it. And when you do it, it makes you happy. And then when you do that, it makes you happy. Then you're at the right place at the right time with the right people. And then you're just really happy. And then opportunities open up to you and the blessing comes to you. And then it's just good. It's so much fun to serve. Like, y'all, I get more happy about serving than anything because I love doing it. That's why I'm passionate about it. That's why I try to tell people, just get involved. Why? Because I want you to get a little happiness on you. And I'm not saying you're mean. Somebody's like, bless God, he's saying I'm mean? I'm saying it'll just make you more happy is what I'm saying. And when you do it, it makes you joyous and it makes you just thrilled to get involved. So in this next year, just say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do at the church? But what do you want me to do in my personal life? What do you want me to connect? If I'm not connected, then where do you want me to connect? Do I need to connect more? Do I need to do this? What is it? And then do it. And then follow God for this next year. Just make a determination. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you in everything you tell me to do. Why? Because that's the plan of God for your life. And when you do that, man, seriously, it makes you happy. I mean, seriously, like so many people, it's interesting because when you, I've heard somebody say this, when you start giving, that's one addiction God will support. When you give, God will support your addiction. I mean, he will. I mean, like, if you're like, I love to cook. Y'all, like, if you bring me things, if you want to, like, fat-free now would be good for the next 3 months. I'm joking. But, you know, like, if you like to cook, you ever notice how you start cooking and then you take things to people and people get happy? And then what do? You go, I want to cook some more. And then, like, your husband, like me, when my wife cooks, she always makes more. Y'all know what that is, more? More than enough. That means, like, more for me and then more for the neighbors and more for our friends. She always just makes so much. I'm like, babe, I can't eat it all. Like, I like to eat, but Lord Jesus, that's an abundant overflow. And, you know, but what do we do when we make so much? We save a little bit for us, and then we go, who do we want to make happy? You know what we did the other night? We got a new espresso machine. Yeah, I got my wife an espresso machine. Whoo, man, making espresso. I'm Pastor Matt, the barista now, and I'm in the house, wah, wah, making my espresso, frothing the milk, you know. Like, what do you want? Macchiato? I'll make you a macchiato. Starbucks is like, where's he at? I'm like, y'all ain't getting my money no more. I'm making my own Starbucks stuff now. I mean, I'm making it good, too. And I'm making it so good, if I drink it now, woo, I'm good till the later tonight, you know. But I'm making that. And so my wife and I, before I got that for Christmas, guess what we had? We had a Keurig. And so we removed the Keurig and we put it in the garage. And I was cleaning out the garage the other day, and I told my wife, I said, you know, we need to figure out what we want to do. Do we want to just throw the thing away, or what we want to do with it? You know what her first words are? Who can we give it to? She goes, you know anybody that needs it? She was like thinking through her mind, who needs it? Who can we bless with it? Why? Because it makes us happy. Who can we give it to? Who can we bless? And now we have a bunch of clothes because Dax is growing so fast we can't contain him. And he's 25 pounds, and he's just growing. And I mean, we have all these clothes. We have trash bags, just clothes. And now we're like, who can we get? Who can we, like, the ones that we're not going to use later on? Who can we bless? Who can we give things to? Why? Because we know if we bless somebody, it's going to make us happy, and it's going to make them happy. And then when God tells us, take those clothes and give it to so and so, we get excited about it. We say, throw it in the car. Let's go do it. Let's go take it down the road and bless somebody. That's why, you ever notice how, as a believer, there's just this nudge on the inside to always want to just bless people? You ever notice that? You ever notice how you just, like, and when you do it, you just get, it's just like it's always there. You can't get rid of it. Why? Because that's what you were created to do. That's what your plan is. That's part of it. So 2023 is going to be a good year. We are going to serve. We are going to bless people. We are going to give more. I mean, I'll tell you right now, the Lord has already dealt with me. I wrote it down on this page. I told you, I wrote down every time we come together for prayer, I write down things God's putting in my heart. And one of the things right here, and you can see it if you don't believe me, but it's right here for 2023. You ready what it says? The first two things it says, give to more ministries, sow more. Give more in 2023. Right there, number one and two, give more. Right there. That's the first thing God said to me. Why? Because you're going to need a whole lot of joy. I want you to sow. You'll be blessed, but I want you to be full of joy and start giving more than what you've been. So God said, start praying about where I want you to give. So how many of you know that's God's plan for the church? Then you find out what God has called you to do. Just find it out. And when you do it, how many of you know it'll bring you joy? And you'll be happy. Amen? So you don't have to worry about finding happiness in your motorcycle, happiness in your house. I mean, those things are awesome, but your happiness will be found in Him. And when that happens, that's the greatest joy you can ever experience. Amen? Did you get anything from that? Good. I gave it all to you. That's all I got. So let's pray. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this new year. Thank you. Oh, we just thank you, Father, for the opportunity just to be able to step into 2023 with fresh vision, fresh revelation of some things you want us to do as a church, but also individually. We thank you, Lord, for this new year that we can serve more, not just in the local church, but even outside of the church. Be a blessing to those around us to do what it is that you have called us to do. And Lord, when we do that, when we put others higher than ourselves, when we serve others, Lord, you said that we would be happy. So, Father, we know right now that as we serve you, as we do what you've called us to do, it'll bring us happiness. Lord, happiness is found in you. It's found in doing what you've called us to do. And I pray for every person today in the sound of my voice that, Lord, you just reveal to them what it is that you have called them to do. Reveal to them where it is you want them to get involved. Reveal to them, Father God. And as they do it, Lord, I thank you that joy and happiness will come upon them as they are faithful to do what it is that you have called them to do. Lord, I thank you for 2023. I thank you, Lord, that this next year we are just putting our faith that it is going to be the best year yet for this church and for the people of this church. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are true to your word. And we thank you, Lord, for just a great year that lies in store of us and ahead of us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.